Jiffy Pop podcast listeners. This is Dr. Jennifer Colito, aka Pop, with an exciting new episode for you of an interview between Todd and Kathy McDonough, a 20-year educator from Winnetka. As I was reflecting on a possible title for this podcast, to summarize the conversations, it was really difficult for me, but for good reason. There are so many intriguing, smaller conversations that came from this. I think about the concept of reinventing ourselves and our craft as we transition into new seasons of our profession. Another one, fireside chats and innovations, and looking how far we've come. You'll have to let us know what you think. Don't forget to check out the show notes at bit.ly/JiffyPopPodcast. Enjoy.
Kathy, welcome to the Jiffy Pop Podcast.
Good morning, Jiffy.
Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging Pop. She has been working so hard. She's actually in the process right now of moving, and I know tomorrow she leaves on a mission trip, and then when she comes back, she has training for her new job. So she has just been extremely busy. So we miss the Pop, but she'll be back. She'll be around for all of our year-round podcasts and all the craziness that we've got going on. But thank you for remembering that she's part of this awesome podcast. So I want to welcome you. And Kathy, I will have recorded a brief intro to let people know where you're coming from and what's going on with you. But this podcast is really about what's going on for you in the future. So do you want to just kind of explain where you've been for the last chunk of time?
Sure. So I have been for 20 years working in the very progressive Winnetka Public School District. And I've just been so fortunate to be able to have access to technology, to a lot of professional development in technology and many other things, pedagogy, progressive ed. And now in this next 20 years of my life, I'm hoping to apply what I have learned and still continue to share with others, teach others, learn from others. And so that's kind of where what I'm thinking that I would like to do.
Fantastic. And I remember that you're going to be doing some location changing as well, right? You're going to be changing where you live.
That's correct. So I'm in the northern suburbs now, but my roots are in Indiana and, you know, near Lafayette. And we have a family farm there. So I thought, well, my dad at 94 years old is still living and still really creating, making. He's amazing. So I thought, well, it'll be fun to spend time with him while I can as well.
And does he live in that area?
He does. He actually took the old family barn, and when he retired, and he actually grew up in Chicago, or not grew up, he grew up in Indiana, but his career was in Chicago, and he was a systems analyst. So he worked with the big old computers back in the day. And then when he retired, he went to Indiana and converted the old family barn into a house.
Oh my goodness. So, and is that where he lives? He lives there
now? He does. He lives in the barn.
That is awesome, because my wife and I have always talked about the tiny houses, which, you know, become so kind of posh yes. right now. We've talked a little bit about living in a tiny house, but having a barn, and the barn would be kind of our workshop. Uh-huh. We'd each have a side. And I just imagine having, you know, giant open space to weld and make giant pieces of art and crazy stuff like that. But it sounds like your dad actually is way ahead.
Well, you'll have to come and visit.
He did. I would love to.
And he even had the geothermal heating put in. So, you know, a lot of actual thought went into the whole process. So I would love for you to come and see it. And in fact, one of my goals is to do professional development there and just have like an innovation week or weekend where people come to the farm and just brainstorm and create. We've got a wood shop there. We've got the gardens. We've got space. So I thought that would be a fun kind of a brain trust professional development.
That's wonderful. That's a great idea. It sounds like, have you heard of, or maybe have you been to the CMK
I haven't
conference?
been, but I sure have heard of it.
Oh my goodness, if you get a chance to do that, that might be a good place for you to visit, because it sounds a little bit like what you're hoping to create there. It is really, I had no idea what to expect the first time I went. Tim Selgrat went, I believe, last year. I think Tim went. And it's basically, you get all of these amazing educators together, and they dream up things they want to make, and then they do
That's pretty much what I was
it.
thinking. So that would be
I
good for me
know,
to
I
go to
know.
that.
Yeah, it you should, and it would be and really, it's people think, because a lot of people are repeat visitors, and they'll spend the whole year kind of, on the side. They'll keep a little part of their brain active on thinking about this project, and they'll think about something they want to build all year long. And of course, during the school year, it's so hard to kind of do those personal projects, but they'll think about it, and then they'll come together, and it's a little bit like an ed camp where people pitch these ideas. And then as a new person who was there, like, I had no idea what to expect, and so I just jumped into another group's project and brought my own, sort of bent to the project and to the problem solving. And it's just a really amazing opportunity to create alongside other people who are, equally as creative and curious as you are. So maybe it would be a great place
Oh,
for you to visit.
that's an excellent suggestion.
And it's in Manchester, is it Manchester, New Hampshire, I think it is, and they call it Manch Vegas, which it is far from of Las Vegas, but it always intrigued me that they called it that. So it is a lot of fun. So I would really look into it. It's early, it just finished, so it must be early July that it
I've been seeing
happens.
a lot of tweets about it, and it did fascinate me. And I thought, but it's funny, I didn't put myself there, but I love that idea. No, I think I'm going to save up for that one.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that's really fun, in my opinion, is that there's a day trip to Boston, and it's not just going to Boston. You actually get to go to the MIT Media Lab,
Whoa.
and you spend a day, not, I mean, I guess you spend about a half a day at the MIT Media Lab, and you get to go on a tour of the space. And I know this year the speaker was Eric Rosenbaum, I believe his name is, and he was one of the one of what well, he was a student there, but he is now heading a bunch of really interesting things with Scratch and Makey Makey and all those sorts of things. So that, to me, that was one of the highlights as well, is getting to spend some time at the MIT Media Lab, which, I mean, I would never have a chance to do that if I hadn't gone to CMK. So
Right, wow.
it's a pretty great plane.
And does that
Yeah,
last a
yeah.
week?
So I think it's like a 5 day thing, if I remember. Yeah, and I'll put links to CMK for people who are interested, or for even for
Perfect.
you, Kathy, so you can
Thank you.
link into it and see what's going on there. You might also remember the names Gary Steger and Sylvia
Absolutely.
Martinez. They wrote Invent to Learn. So that's their book, and they're the ones who are in charge of CMK.
Okay.
And Josh Berkers has written two books with amazing projects, and all of those are published by the CMK Press too.
Oh,
So it's kind of a
yes.
small family, but there are but it's but it's got great stuff, great
Powerful
stuff.
family, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. I know. This is already such a fascinating conversation. So, talk a little bit more about what you are going to be doing as you make this transition to kind of a new location for you. So you're going to be coming from the suburbs, going to Indiana. You had mentioned that you're trying to sell your house. Is
Right.
something about
Well,
that?
the house, because the Winnetka Public School professional development was so rich, and working with the students and all these exciting things that would come up all the time, my house kind of got neglected in all of this, as you might be able to relate to.
Yes.
So
yes.
We're going to sell it. But before we can do that, we really have to put some more love and care into the place. And as I was in every room I go to now, I use my design thinking to figure out what would the buyer want. And it's just been a really exciting process then. It's more this whole, and there's so much written and on staging. And, you know, so I read that and I study that. But I also think, well, in fact, it was my hairdresser who said, I said, oh, I'm trying to declutter this house. And it at first it was came on much more as a chore. Now I'm enjoying it. But she said, well, what attracted you to the house? And I thought, what an excellent question. I don't know that a realtor would have even asked that question. But, you know, I thought, well, that's, you know, and that was 20 some years ago. So I wasn't really thinking about that, but all it was the 2-car garage, the basement and the price. That was it.
Sure,
so I
sure.
thought, well, that makes the expectations not so high. So
yeah.
it was, yeah. So it's been kind of interesting and going through all these memories and also being able to let go of a lot of things. I've enjoyed that. And at school, I felt like when I was going through my room, you know, to let go of that 20 years, it was, you know, it didn't feel as bad, you know, as hard as I thought it would be because of the thought of moving on and going on to the next phase.
Right. And from what you just described, it sounds like that next phase can be really exciting for you and really, you know, carrying on what you've done. And instead of thinking of it as like, oh, I'm done teaching, you know, you're actually not, you're, well, we're never done teaching, right? But I think the thing that I've always been so impressed with about you as a colleague is you never say no.
Thank you.
Idea. You've always been on the cutting edge of what's happening. And often, I don't think you even think of it that way. It just happens to be your mindset that you're always, yeah, okay, let's try it. You know, that I don't think I've ever been in a situation with you where you've oh, I don't think so. I don't think that's possible. That's just who you are. You're an inherent
problem
solver.
Well, I think you're the same. So that's why we
thank you.
Appreciate each other.
I guess that's why we live in the same area, right? Or work in the same place. We kind of all seem to migrate in that kind of that location. So you had kind of mentioned to me earlier that sort of a theme of this conversation was talking about reinventing ourselves and as future ready teachers and learners. And I wonder if in this kind of process, you probably haven't had a chance to really get here yet, but as far as your new location, have you started making any inroads in any of the school districts or any of the organizations in that area? Or are you kind of holding off until you get a little closer to
I have, you know, through Twitter, I've been locating different organizations and, you know, like through the universities where their maker spaces are. So I was just, Indiana University has one. Purdue has one. We're not far from Purdue. So I thought, you know, that was a good connection to make. Plus, I was really thinking, you know, in the rural schools, I'm not sure how much, and, you know, the people in the country are really, they're very much original makers. You know, with the technology in our family, we have this tractor that's so old, but it still does its job, you know? And so you think how much those things cost now. And, you know, we still have one from back then. So it's, and the sewing, the quilting, I think our rural friends do a lot of that. in the area where I'm moving to. But I would like to see how much of the other technology the students have been able to have access to, because the technology is getting cheaper and cheaper. So even if I could create a little cart and come in and, just a little, maybe at the library or at some of the schools. So I just have to connect with people who would be, interested in having me do that.
Well, I think I love what you just said, because I think a lot of what we have been doing in our makerspaces is pulling back into some of those traditional skills, sewing and using our hands to build things or fix things or solve problems. And like what you just said is, a lot of people in rural areas, they don't really have a choice. If something breaks, they need to fix it. They have to know how to fix it. And there's just that knowledge base that I think rural kids come up with that our, our students who are in a suburban area don't have. In contrast to saying they may or may not have the same connection to some of the technologies that are getting to be so inexpensive. Like some, I'm just thinking some of the robotics or coding pieces that we've been doing in our communities that may or may not be in those communities. I don't know. I haven't done any research to know that, but I think one thing that came up in what you were just saying, the idea of a cart or a kit. My friend Zoe Midler out in Boulder has been doing something with mobile maker kits, and they check them out. So she runs their innovation center, and she and her teams have created these kits that librarians can check out, and they use them in their schools. And then when they come back, Zoe has them do just a quick, like, 15-minute conversation about, what they learned and how they used them and what things would they like to change. And that's actually where I got the idea to start podcasting, was because she wanted to get teachers to give feedback, but she didn't feel right asking them to write a blog post about it. And I think it's just natural that, we're conversant. We want to share our thoughts and ideas, and it's just a great way to do that. But the idea of like a mobile maker kit that you mentioned, that might be a good model for you to kind of explore, because it seems to have been a very successful program that they've got going.
Oh, yes. Well, and I think also, I mean, I know as a teacher, one thing that I felt like that I could not always offer to the students was when it, like with the Arduino, the micro bits, I just did not take the time to really learn those as well as I could have. And I just, it seemed like there wasn't time and that wasn't my priority. But it seems like, if I could really learn more about those now, and then, like you said, package it some way to make it easier for teachers to be able to help their students with those, where it's not such a large learning curve.
Have you done much work with Raspberry Pi?
I see that's. I've done some, but not as I really need to
Well,
learn more about that.
I don't feel bad. It's interesting the way you said that it wasn't a priority for you, because I feel the exact same way. With my makers, I felt like the introductory pieces were so much more important for that group. But as my kids now are maturing into, this will be their fourth year, the youngest kids will, well, my third graders now will have had a makerspace for 4 years. They're growing more and more sophisticated in the sense that, I'm going to have to be kind of stepping up my game to be able to bring them materials and challenges that are going to be kind of at their level. So I'm feeling like, oh, I'm feeling that pressure, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to actually have to start like pushing myself even more. And the reason I mentioned Raspberry Pi is there's actually a free week, I think it's a week long, might even be slightly smaller, shorter than that, week long training opportunity that for Raspberry Pi. It's called Pi Academy, and it's free. It's completely free. And you, as you attend it and learn, you become Raspberry Pi certified.
Ooh.
And so I just learned about that this week, and I just signed up for their newsletter and information about their upcoming courses and stuff. My friend Christina Holzweiss attended this year and could not recommend it any more strongly for me. So you might want to look into that as well, just as a great way to, it's a week-long experience where you get in there and use the Raspberry Pi and learn to add code and adjust and make all these different type of contraptions and programs that you can use. And best of all, it's free.
Yes, wow. Oh, I totally need to do that. Show notes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be
Okay.
linking that in the show notes for sure. Yes. So what else is going on for you right now? You've got your hands busy with kind of decluttering and getting your house ready to sell, and you're going to be moving down to Indy.
Well, and
Anything else going
we
on?
took a trip with some of my Skokie friends to Florida this summer, and it
Oh,
was
good.
interesting to see. Another thing that brought me back to innovation was going to Thomas Edison's winter home and just thinking again about, the time when all of these innovations were made and the different personalities of the innovators at the time. I found it fascinating. And then we went to Key West and saw Hemingway's home in Key West, and I learned more about him. So I realized too how this traveling can really connect you with history. And my family was never big on traveling, but I know our students in Winnetka do a lot of traveling. So it's very it's it I think that really has helped them to be more aware with geography and history. And I'm thinking again in my rural community that, some way, especially with VR and, how we can get these experiences to more of the students.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You look at like the Google Expeditions and Google AR now that you can, like literally be inside a so many places. You can actually with the AR now, it is actually you move the, how you used to have to wear the
Yes.
goggles. Now you can actually use your phone on a selfie stick, and as you move the selfie stick around, you are inside the location that you're at, and what you're looking through on the phone is what you would
Right.
see
We
if
had
you were in.
the Google
So
Expedition. Did you have them come yet to Hubbard Woods?
we could not get them to come to Hubbard Woods yet, but we plan to
That
this
was
year.
amazing to have them come and, and so just to spend the day familiarizing yourself too with it all was nice.
Well, and that is going to just keep getting easier and more, in depth and advanced. And you can now make your own virtual reality tours if you have 360 degree photos. Soon that will be available with video, so you can actually use a 360 degree camera and then make your own video tours inside a virtual reality. I mean, it's just going to keep getting easier and more attainable for us, as educators to be able to teach our students to create with, which is awesome. We want them to become creators, not
Isn't that
consumers.
exciting that they can do all of these things? It amazes me.
It just amazes me too. It's an exciting time to be in education and to be alive. I'm grateful
Well,
to
I
be here.
think of, when I first started teaching 20 years ago, and a student would want to make a movie. And my gosh, by the time you uploaded everything and got it onto the computer, and the computer was so slow. And it just when I think about how much harder it was to do those things back in the day, and now, they it's not so much, they don't have to take as much time figuring out the technology so they can actually produce and
Yeah.
create without it being so such a strain.
I was talking with somebody earlier this week, and they said, we don't necessarily have as much instruction around tools. We now can talk about almost philosophy or kind of what you're hoping to achieve. Like if you're making a film, you don't necessarily have to teach so much about the tools anymore, about how to use them, because they've become so ubiquitous. You can now talk about, oh, you know, what kind of mood are you trying to evoke? And you know, what is this? How are you going to communicate the story? Whereas I remember we would spend so much time teaching them, like, oh, no, you know, you have to make sure this tool is, you know, it's got to be straight, it's got to be edited.
Right. Oh, yes.
And now, you know, I just talked with Shannon Miller, librarian from Iowa, about we're going to be creating a film fest for K-12 students, and we're most excited about what the little guys are going to produce. Can you imagine 20 years ago producing a film with a
Oh,
kindergartner?
wow.
Yeah, nuts, right? And now, you know, it's not going to be easy, but it's not going to be as nearly as challenging as it was, you know, as you said, when you know, imagine when I first started up in the resource center, Bob Golden and I were going through some of the stuff that was there, and he handed me a couple of old movie cameras, 16 millimeter movie cameras. And he said that, or I think they might have been 8 millimeter, but he handed these to me and he said, I remember when I taught claymation with these. And he explained to me the process, you know, the kids would load the film and then they would, you know, set everything up and they would shoot. And they had no idea if they had a thumb in the
Oh.
picture or you know, I just thought about that. I'm like, oh my goodness, he would have had to have sent the film out and then bring it back and then play it on a projector. And can you imagine like editing the film,
Oh.
literally cutting, splicing, and I just thought, man, Bob, your job was so hard.
But he might say the th same thing about yours now, though, when he sees all the tools that you work with. I mean, just a 3D printer in itself is a whole job, in my opinion.
It is, you know, we could almost, yeah, we never are at a shortage of need of helping, of getting help. And that's something you've done so well though over the years, is you've taught kids and kids take it over.
True.
And so you don't have to be responsible for it all the time. You know, there are some kids, and I know names and you know names, that, you know, we could turn over our job, and a lot of them could do a really good job at parts of it,
Right. Yeah,
right?
that's true. Well, funny story. When I first got the 3D printer, and I think it was the first one in our district, and it was in the box. And I said to the kids on the first day, it was their first day of fifth grade. And I said, we've got a 3D printer in the box. I have to set it up and then, we'll be able to try it. So these kids came to me, and this was the period before they went to lunch. And they said, well, could we? Now, this was their first day. And I didn't know them. I didn't even know their names. They said, well, I think we can set it up. So I said, well, we can go through the things. We'll open the box. And the next thing I know, they're reading the directions and they're setting it up. And then our dear superintendent came in while they were doing this. And she said, this is amazing. And I thought, now some superintendents would see these fifth graders with this whole, yes.
What
And
are
she realized that, this was pretty cool that these kids were setting this up when we didn't even know their names yet. So, and they set it
That's
up. They did it.
see that's what makes you such a great educator, Kathy, is that you're willing to let kids experiment and try like that. And you knew if it went wrong, you know, you'd have to take it all apart and rebuild it again, but you're willing to let them do that. And I just think that's, in a nutshell, what makes you a
Oh,
great
well, thank
educator.
you very much.
You're welcome. Well, Kathy, I always try to ask my guests two kind of parting questions. And I should have let you know these before so you'd have a chance to think about them. But the first one is, have you read anything recently, or do you have anything on your to-be-read pile that you would recommend to listeners?
I just read the, I think it's called, and I'm not a huge reader. So my the book that I just finally read, I've had it on my shelf, is The Incident of the Curious Dog. Is that what it's called? But the autistic, it's about the autistic boy telling the story. And that was very powerful. And it was a recommendation by Melissa Weimer, actually. And so I love that one. And then I, of course, the Green Screen Makerspace book
I hear that's a pretty good book.
by Todd Burleson. And I have given my copy to my son over at Lake Forest Country Day. So they have that right in their studio now. So, and my Bible is Colleen Graves' Makerspace book. Can't remember the name of it.
Awesome.
So,
Although I think it's called the Big Book of Makerspace
yes, I
Projects.
believe that.
Yes. I was just checking that. First of all, thank you for recommending my book. That's awesome. And Colleen's book is, as you said, kind of the Bible for a space, in like our spaces. Is the book you were talking about? I was looking. I found Curious Incident of the Dog.
Yes.
I don't think
Okay, here,
that's it.
let's see. It is the.
Curious Incident of the
Okay,
Dog in the Night.
yes, that's it.
That's
Okay.
it. Okay. By Mark Haddon.
By, let's see, I've got it right in front. Yes, by Mark Haddon.
Perfect. Okay. I will make sure and add all of those to the show notes. And then the last question should be an easy one, I hope, is right now, what brings you joy?
Oh. So, I guess, boy, that's not an easy question.
Oh,
But
okay. Good.
actually, I think just appreciating, I mean, recently I've been appreciating very much, what I my past and what I have to look forward to. And that's brought me a lot of joy. And I was in my first pension check came and it was like, whoa, this is awesome. So and then at in Indiana, there, we have a house there, but they're fixing it up for us in any way we want. So the family is, so I feel like, I have a lot of people in my life who are looking out after me, and that brings me joy.
I think that's pretty awesome. I'm glad that was not an easy question for you.
It's I think so many things do bring joy that it's hard to even find things that don't.
Yeah, that's a pretty awesome answer though too. I think that's the one question I never feel appropriate to ask it in an interview with like a new staff member, because you know how we now have like approved questions that we have to
Yes.
ask. But it's the question I want to know. Like if I'm an introvert and I don't do well in big groups. But when I have a chance to sit down and talk with somebody one on one, or even like this, where we're not actually together, but we're talking, that's the question I want to know from everybody. Like, what brings you joy? What makes you happy? What makes you kind of, what gives you fuel, like, to keep going? And I don't think anyone could answer it any better than what you
Well,
just did.
thank you. And you know what? I want to say one thing before I go, because that photograph that you gave me, it is so beautiful. And I have it in my living room. And any angle I look at it from a distance or close up, it just that brings me joy. Honestly, it is beautiful. And
Well, we'll have to put that in the show
yes,
notes.
definitely. It is amazing because if it just it
Thank you.
stands, how did you do that?
Just a really
Oh,
macro
it's
lens.
beautiful.
Thank you. Well, Kathy, I hope that as your journey keeps going and as you are making that next step and you get to your space in Indiana and you start thinking about how that new space might become an innovation lab like you're thinking, I hope you'll come back soon and talk with us more on the Jiffy
I
Pop
would love
podcast.
that. And I will be listening to
Awesome.
everyone.
Awesome. Well, we're about to, we'll be, by the time you hear this, we'll have published several that will be really interesting, and there's a bunch more scheduled. So I think there's a lot more coming on the Jiffy Pop
Awesome.
podcast.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, friend, thank
Oh,
you so
thank you
much.
so much.
And enjoy the bits of summer. And you know, my favorite part, I think, of being retired will be not feeling anxious on the August 22nd.
I know when I see those school supplies now, I'm not as creeped out as I usually am.
Oh,
However,
yeah. Well,
here's the one drawback, one of many, but the children do really inspire me because of their ideas. So I worry if I don't have children in front of me giving me this little push. So that's what I might have to come and talk to your kids sometime or Skype with them.
You, it's not you might, you're
Okay,
going to.
awesome. Oh, that'll be fun.
We are inviting you in, and I think this will be your nudge to get yourself into those schools in Indiana when you get settled. And absolutely, we're going to be Skyping you in, and I hope that you'll keep following on Twitter and interacting and jumping in and being part of the conversation and
Absolutely.
invite other people into the new spaces you get when you are in
Okay,
Indiana.
will do. Excellent.
Sounds great, my
Okay,
friend.
thank you so much, Todd.
You're welcome.
Okay,
We'll talk to
bye-bye.
you soon, okay?